This is Epic Blunders, a group of friends, nerds, and gamers with nothing better to do than create amazing stories and fail miserably on dice rolls. We're glad you've joined us. We are currently in the middle of a grand trek through the continent of Wildemount, and if that sounds familiar, you're probably a fan of the legendary show Critical Role. While we're not professional voice actors, we like to think that our adventures are enjoyable and wanted to share our triumphs and tragedies with you. So, come on in, take a seat, and get comfortable. Today's tale is about to begin. Our story began in Rosanna, capital of the Kryn Dynasty. Our protagonists had been contacted by agents of Laelas Kryn, better known as the Bright Queen, regarding a strange series of dreams and memories that had begun plaguing each of them in the recent weeks and months. They were assured if they accepted the invitation to the Lucid Bastion, all would be explained by the Bright Queen herself, at least as much as she knew. Those who agreed were, in due time, transported to Rosanna, where, after a jovial night of entertainment, feasting, and conversation at a local bar, each of the 36 invitees found themselves divided into six groups of six individuals by one of the Queen's representatives, one Iedro Thalas, based on their interactions that night. The groups were assigned a time the next morning that they would be escorted to the Lucid Bastion to meet with the Bright Queen. One such group, and in fact the final collection, consisted of individuals from across the whole of Wildemount. From the Dwendalian Empire, there was an aspiring Tabaxi archaeologist and bard named Whiskey, and a golden-skinned man with a strange blue gemstone in his forehead known as Ryan. The two of them had been childhood friends, but had in later years parted ways and were only just catching up again. Also from the Empire was Anna, a purple-haired elfess from the majestic northern elven city of Bicesteel. Further west, beyond the Dwendalian Empire's reach, from a hidden village in the Sirios End Forest, came an elven ranger known as Link. And then, much closer to their current location in the Kryn Dynasty, came the Kenku thief Pix, and the singing drow cleric of a long-forgotten deity, Sir Calamar. Though they knew very little of each other, or of their business within the capital city, their audience with the Bright Queen the following day proved they shared more of a bond than they would first imagine. The Queen explained to them that the reason they were having strange dreams and flashbacks was that she believed them to be consecuted. That is, in a past life, that they actively participated in a ritual that connected their souls to the Luxon. In the Kryn philosophy, the Luxon is the great radiant light of the universe, first of all the great powers and entities, and indeed, even first before the gods themselves. They believe this Luxon is an entity without form or presence, but one that birthed the beginning of all life, from the fiery core of the world itself to the first inhabitants. Those who adhere to this religion become a part of the Luxon itself, and, upon dying, in close enough proximity to a Luxon beacon, enter a process of rebirth rather than passing on into the afterlife. Those souls, when their bodies approach adolescence, begin to absorb and remember the consciences of all of their past lives. Typically, the Queen explained, one would be guided by another through the process and, in relatively short order, be fully integrated from past to present. Those present, however, were not experiencing this. Their memories of the present life were fine. However, the recollections, snapshots, and nightmares coming back to them about the past haven't gelled fully and have left them all quite disconnected and concerned. The Bright Queen suggested that she and her council believed this to somehow be tied to ancient artifacts from an age long past. They have reason to believe that they had, in a previous life, either wielded or been slain by items known as vestiges of the divergence. She is uncertain why they would be interfering with the consecuted's ability to reconnect fully to their past lives, and is therefore tasking any who are willing to venture out and search for these artifacts that they may, in fact, be connected to. She also adds that the council is quite curious about those who came from the western parts of Wildemount, for the range of the Luxon beacons to capture and recycle souls have long been known to be within 100 miles of their location, and the Dwendalian Empire is far beyond that range. Those born outside the bounds of Xhorhas must have been born near a previously undiscovered Luxon beacon. This, the Bright Queen explains, is of great interest to the dynasty, and should they manage to recover any such beacon, she requests that they return it to the Kryn as soon as possible, lest it fall into the hands of enemies. Beyond that, she claims her interests are largely academic and that they can keep any items, artifacts or not, that they find, or can choose to pass on the offer entirely and simply be returned to their old lives. But, she suggests, if they wish to finally be at peace with who they are and who they were, the only way is the path she's outlined. After some discussion back at the tavern, Pix, Anna, Link, Whiskey, Ryan, and Calamar decide to begin their journeys in Blumenthal, back in the Empire. It's where Whiskey and Ryan grew up, and they hope to possibly kill two birds with one single location. Eadro introduced the group to her cousin, Essek, the Shadow Hand of the Bright Queen, who would provide a one-time transport for them to a single destination. In short order, the group found themselves within the small farmlands of the Dwendalian Empire. They housed themselves in the Cat and the Fiddle, owned and operated by Whiskey's Tabaxi family. While the group was uncertain exactly where to start, Whiskey produced an old map that had been in his possession for years, saying that both the layout and the symbols on it didn't match anything he was aware of, but that it was the closest thing he had to a clue. During this conversation, one of Whiskey's siblings, one of the local Crown's Guard, had just come in from his shift and told the group of a strange collapse in the local tunnel of the Dawnfather. Knowing his brother's penchant for digging through old, abandoned structures, he suggested maybe Whiskey and his friends take a look before the site got repaired, or worse, collapsed entirely. The next morning, our heroes ventured into a curious and long-forgotten chamber buried beneath the temple. It contained a few trinkets and items of interest, including a number of simple weapons and furniture bearing the same strange red dagger symbol found on Whiskey's map. While some of the group were again inspecting the map, hoping for clues, the inquisitive thief, Pix, accidentally triggered a secret door, which opened up into a longer hallway beyond. With the new passageway revealed, the group tentatively decided that the layout might actually match the map, and if so, it was a rough sketch of the caverns beneath the town. Following the map, they stumbled across a small camp of kobolds, dispatching most and scattered the rest, then doubled back across a collapsed portion of the tunnels, carefully picking their way over the rubble and to the other side. There, they found a goblin band commanded by a shape-shifting Barghest. But as the battle was finally beginning to turn in favor of the heroes, the Barghest bolted toward and then directly through a wall in the back of the room. Finishing off the rest of the goblins, part of the group chased after the Barghest while a few others took in the scene before them. Oversized, beastly, and fiendish skeletons marred the massive chamber, while other more humanoid remains lay scattered across the battlefield as well, all bearing marks on their rusted-over armor of the same crimson dagger. Their investigation was interrupted by shouts of battle ahead as the others had rushed through the illusory wall and found a handful of hobgoblins looting what appeared to be an ancient war room. They had only a moment to see a shadowy figure disappearing down a long corridor, yelling for them to return to the keep when you're finished. The Barghest nowhere in sight, they took down the small group of hobgoblins with relative ease and settled to investigate the strange room. While it was clear they had interrupted looters, the only thing that appeared to be missing were the top portion of contents within an open chest. The adventurers gladly scooped up the treasure that was left behind and also collected an ancient map of the Empire, complete with four tokens meticulously placed on the rolled-out parchment. Not wanting to get too far behind, the young ranger led the group through the winding corridor in hopes of catching up to the Barghest or whatever other shadowy figure had escaped. But when they eventually made their way to the surface, they found themselves in what appeared to be an ancient family crypt. Moving out into the grounds beyond, Whiskey and Ryan recognized the mansion in front of them as being Veersben Manor, one that had been long thought to be abandoned and often the site of ghost stories. The two friends' own experience here had been on a dare years ago, and even as they discussed the terror of creeping close enough to spot a man standing on the balcony watching them, they found the very same thing happening once again. Only this time, the man invited the group in. To talk, he claimed. Hesitant, our heroes decided they had little other leads and thought this old man should probably be made aware of goblinoids digging around in his family crypts. In short order, they became the guests of Ulir Veersben, late descendant of the Veersben line, and his butler, Mills. Believing this man to be trusted, after spotting a number of symbols faintly resembling that of what they had just seen in the tunnels below, they revealed to Alir what had just happened to them. As their conversation and meal progressed through the evening, Ulir explained to them of the ancient Claret Order and how they had eventually become the people known as Bloodhunters. Whiskey's blueprints, the map with the markers, and all the weapons and armor they had found were now centuries old. He, Ulir, was actually the last member he knew of the Order of the Lycan, originally housed right here in this mansion. He pointed out the locations and meetings of the other three markers, and the group made a note to possibly stop in and visit the others if they were ever in the area. Eventually, the discussion turned to the keep and what the voice could have meant. Ulir informed them that the only keep in this area he was aware of was that of his family's rival clan. They called it Baylor's Keep, and it was only a few miles away, though all known descendants from that family were long gone to his recollection. In the morning, with Ulir joining the party, they would set out toward Baylor's Keep, curious exactly what or who they might find. Well, that's going to do for this week. We hope you'll come by again soon for more blundering buffoonery and epic storytelling. If you're having fun like we are, leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform. It really helps to get the word out to others that we're here. We also want to know what you think. You can connect with us on Twitch, YouTube, or Anchor.fm. Just search for Epic Blunders, where you can also watch our latest videos or even our live streams every Saturday night. Special thanks goes out to Tailspire, the amazing 3D mapping and miniatures toolkit we use, and also to Avray, a Discord bot developed specifically to make it easier for gamers to play their favorite RPGs online with friends. Music this week was created by Dark Fantasy Studios and TabletopAudio.com. Our theme music is from Krakatoa. Until next time, this is your friendly Dungeon Master encouraging you to always fail forward.